You're listening to the Parkside Christian Church podcast. Here at Parkside, our mission is to love God, love people, and help others do the same. To learn more, visit ParksideChristian.com.
Well, morning, everybody. I'm going to steal Lisa's stand here. Hopefully she's okay with that. Move her microphone. Everyone having a good week? Yeah? Well, if you're visiting with us, if this is your first time here, my name is Randy Adams, and welcome. We're glad you're here. Thank you for coming and worshiping with us today. And if you don't already know, we are in continuing on with our message series called Exceptionally Small, and it's a message series about humility. And it's like, why would Matt ask me to speak about humility? Does he not know who I am? Well, he said, I think you can handle it. So we're going to talk about humility. Now, the first week, a couple weeks ago, Matt Robinson, our lead minister, introduced the topic, the biblical topic of humility. And he told us why it is important, why it's important for the church, why we should be humble. And then the second week, last week, Randy Shivers, one of our other ministers, he introduced the concept of what humility is and what it is not, and what the proper motivation for humility should be. Now, this week, week three, I'm also going to deal with humility, but it's going to be from a little bit different perspective. And the message title is Baby Steps, okay? And the main passage, main scripture verse that we're going to look at is found in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. So, but before we go any further, will you let me pray for you and ask God to bless everyone here this morning? So, will you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask, Lord, that you'd fill this place with your presence, with your Spirit. That you would fill our hearts and our minds, and that you would speak to us directly, Lord. And that we would hear you telling us what it is that you want us to know, but you would also strengthen us through your Spirit to not just be hearers of your word, but doers, to actually take what you teach us and put it into application. May we love you. May we grow in that love for you. May we understand just how much you love for us. We thank you for this opportunity to gather together as a family called Parkside to worship. I pray for your blessings on everyone here. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. All right, so let me ask you something, okay? Have you ever watched a baby learn their first foot, you know, their first steps? Now, I have three children. I have seven grandchildren, okay? So I've seen this a few times. And, you know, think about it now. You got a baby, right? And they're learning to walk for the very first time. So they kind of get up, and they're kind of, you know, wobbly on their legs a little bit. And they look down. Yep, my feet are still attached, okay? And then they see a person or a thing. Now, in my case, it'd be a Panera Bread bear claw, okay? I love me Panera Bread bear claws. But it could be, you know, there's a loved one or whatever, and it's like they're fixated on that. It says, okay, I need to get from here to there. How do I do that? So they begin to take little steps, baby steps, right? You remember seeing that? And so they take a step, and it's like, oh, you kind of wobble, and you want to catch them, but you can't. You want them to let it figure it out on their own. And then it's like, oh, okay. You see the eyes, the wheels working in their head, and they take the next step, right? And it's like, oh, okay, I've got this figured out. I'm okay. And then they take the next step, right? And what happens? They face plant, right? And so after some tears, okay, and after, you know, some encouragement, they get back up, and they want that bear claw. And, you know, for me, it's got to be at least two or three. So I'm going to get back up. And with some encouragement from a loved one, they take the next step. And they take the next step, right? Now, their journey may involve a few more face plants, a few more topples, some skin knees maybe, some tears maybe. But because they persevere, because they have determination to reach their goal, to reach that loved one, They keep taking step after step after step, right? And before long, they're able to walk, and before long, they're able to run as they grow and get older, don't they? Well, they had a goal, that bear claw, but God gives us a goal as well, doesn't He? That's why we're going to look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, okay? So, if you see it on the screen there, Matthew 5, 48 says this, "You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." What? Perfect? God, do you not know who I am? Did you not see my thoughts this morning when that person cut me off in traffic? Do you not understand what I did, you know, the other day? I mean, isn't that why Jesus came and died on the cross for my sins? And now you're telling me to be perfect? What are you thinking? And what does this even have to do with humility, right? Because humility is not even in the passage. It's not even in the scripture passages prior to that. Okay? Well, I'm going to link the two together. But before we do that, I'm going to take a look at this passage. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. You must be perfect, therefore, as your Heavenly Father is perfect, right? So, let's take a look at it this way. Let's look at Matthew 5, 48, but let's look at it in the Message translation, okay? Message translation says it this way. In a word, I am saying, what I'm saying is, grow up. Your kingdom subjects, now live like it. Live your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously towards others the way God lives towards you. Now, you see, the Greek word, and hopefully I pronounce this correctly, is teleos. That's the word for perfect. That's the word that's used in that first translation, right? But teleos can also mean mature, grown up. It can mean the consummate of human integrity and virtue. It can mean godliness. It can mean being godly character. And that's what we see in the Message translation. So which is it, right? Well, as I was studying this, I came across a helpful note from the NET Bible translation, and it says this. This term literally meant mature or fully equipped. This is a strong statement that God's ultimate standard of righteousness is Himself. Humans cannot achieve perfection except in Christ. However, believers must strive for it in their daily lives. There must be a theological balance between one, salvation being accepted as a free gift of God through Christ, which is called positional sanctification, and two, striving towards Christ-likeness, which is called progressive sanctification. Perfection here refers to uprightness and sincerity of character with the thought of maturity in godliness or attaining the goal of conformity to the character of God. While sinless perfection is impossible, godliness in its biblical concept is attainable. And as a side note, godliness has been described as obedience that springs from a reverent awe of God. It is the Isaiah-like action that has a man awestruck by God rise from his face saying, "Here I am, send me." Awe, then action. The godly among us are those people whose reverent worship of God flows into obedience throughout the week. Does this help to see the difference? Jesus isn't demanding sinless perfection as we think of it when we see or hear the word perfect. He knows that apart from Him, that is an impossible goal for us to reach in this life. And He already dealt with it at the cross. It's about pursuing godly character. It's about intentionally working towards spiritual maturity. It's about seeking to become more and more Christ-like in our thoughts, our attitudes, our words, our actions. It's about becoming morally upright and reflecting the godly character traits that are now implanted in us through our faith in Jesus Christ. Character traits like unconditional and sacrificial love. character traits like those described in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 25, where we read, "But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." And then in verse 25, we are told, "Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives." So, again, what does this command, this goal, have to do with humility? Well, although not listed in Galatians, we know from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, that we are to have the same attitude of humility that Jesus Christ has. Philippians 2 says this: "You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though He was God, He did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, He gave up His divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When He appeared in human form, He humbled Himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross." So I believe that the godly standard that our Lord Jesus has given us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, also includes the development of a heart and a life of sincere Christ-like humility. It's through our humility, our humble thoughts, attitudes, words, and actions, that people see that there is a God who loved them enough to die for them and who wants to have a deep personal relationship with them. That's the goal: to become a godly person that is Christ-like and humble. And even though we are not talking about sinless perfection, the goal of spiritual maturity and Christ-like humility is still a pretty daunting task, right? Thus, the need for baby steps. Now, I wish that I became spiritually mature, the moment I put my faith in Jesus Christ. But that's not how it worked for me. No. Just as I wasn't born fully mature, able to walk and talk and think the moment I came into this world, so I wasn't spiritually mature and complete the moment I put my repentant faith in Jesus Christ as my only Lord and Savior. Spiritual growth is a journey. Just like that baby reaching for that bear claw, spiritual growth takes time. It takes steps, it takes effort, perseverance, determination. Just as a baby is born and then grows into adulthood, so we are born spiritually and grow into spiritual maturity. So in response to God's command, we must strive daily towards the goal of Christ-like attitudes, character, and humility. Step by step, by step. Choice by choice by choice, moment by moment by moment, day by day by day. You will face plant. You will stumble. You will skin your knee, but you cannot give up. You have to take those steps, and sometimes they're little baby steps, but keep taking the steps. And then, over time, you begin to run, and you'll reach your goal. But how, right? What are the small steps we need to take towards godly, Christ-like character and humility? Well, in order to achieve this goal that God's commanded us to pursue, we have to keep working on living a life of obedience. I know people don't like to hear that word, but still, we need to live a life of obedience. Look at what Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 21. "The person who knows my commandments and keeps them, that's the one who loves me. And the person who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and make myself plain to him." Obedience. Our obedience to God's laws and ways are a demonstration of our faith and love for God. Our actions demonstrate what we really believe. As James, the half-brother of Jesus, says, "I will show you my faith by my works." And listen to what the Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. And this is also from the Message translation. "Roll up your sleeves. Get your head in the game. Be totally ready to receive the gift that's coming when Jesus arrives. Don't lazily slip back into those old grooves of evil, doing just what you feel like doing. You didn't know any better then. You do now. As obedient children, let yourselves be pulled into a way of life shaped by God's life, and life energetic and blazing with holiness. God said, 'I am holy, you be holy.'" So we now know that the goal of God is commanding us to strive for, right? A life of Christ-likeness, a life of humility, a life of godliness. We now know that godliness and Christ-like humility are part of that goal. We know that we are on a journey towards that goal, and it requires many small, sometimes baby steps. Steps of obedience. One after the other, moment by moment, choice by choice. It's our obedience that helps us to not slip back into those old grooves of evil that we once practiced, right? It's our love, our faith, our obedience that helps us combat our pride. Pride that results in our being selfish and self-centered. Pride which is the root of all the sin and the rebelliousness that's in our lives. And it is pride which is antithetical to godliness and Christ-likeness. Obedience to God, which is based on our love for Him and for others, defeats our sinful desire to do what we want, when we want, and for the selfish reasons we want. Through the repeated small steps of obedience, we learn to be God-centered and not self-centered. To focus our lives on others and less on ourselves. However, the key to all of this has to be love. Unconditional, sacrificial love for God and others. In Matthew chapter 22 and in Mark chapter 12, we see Jesus stating that the greatest commandment, the one that is above all others, and upon which all others stand, is, "And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these." We also see in Matthew's account, Jesus saying that the whole Bible, all of our Holy Scriptures, are summed up in loving God and loving others. The Apostle Paul clearly states just how important love is when he gives us the description of love. And as I read this, I want you to also pick out humility being described in this passage as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 8 says, "If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless. But love will last forever. Praise God. So you see, without this kind of godly, unconditional, sacrificial love and humility, as the foundation of our obedience and of all the good works that we seek to do, then all those steps, they really come to nothing. In God's eyes, they won't mean anything. Love for God and our love for others is what develops godliness and Christ-likeness and humility. Do you get that? It is love that develops our character. It develops our humility. It develops us being like Christ. It develops our godliness. Love has to be the foundation. It has to be the source of everything in our lives. This love and humility is to be freely given to all people as well. That's why Jesus says in Matthew 5, verses 43 to 48, "You have heard that the law says, 'Love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say, 'Love your enemies!'" Exclamation point. "Pray for those who persecute you." Exclamation point. "In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For He gives His sunlight to both the evil and the good, and He sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. But you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father, as your Father in heaven is perfect." So in summary, He commands us to be perfect. He commands us to pursue a difficult, attainable goal. But it's not the perfection we think. It's Christ-likeness. It's humility. It's godliness. It's a life of obedience. It's not a goal of sinless perfection. It's a spiritual maturity. That issue was dealt with. The perfection, the sinless perfection was dealt with by Jesus Christ at the cross. But a goal of godliness and Christ-likeness and humility, that's what we're to strive for. Daily, step by step, moment by moment, choice by choice by choice. It's a difficult goal, absolutely. It's a difficult one to achieve, and it requires time and patience. It requires taking those steps. And the steps are steps of obedience based on love for God and for other people. Again, that's the foundation. And in loving humility, we are to do good to all people, right? Even those who we may not like, or who may not like us, and who persecute us because of our faith in Jesus Christ. Even those of different races, creeds, colors, religions, political affiliations, backgrounds, and opinions. Love for God is seen through our humility towards and love for all people. To be humble is to be God-centered in every area of our lives and not self-centered. To be other and outward focused and not self and inward focused. So the application, in conclusion, what are you going to do? How do you apply God's command to strive towards godliness, Christ-likeness, humility? Well, here's maybe some small steps. One is, and then when I say this, I don't want you to get caught up on a checklist, okay? Are you reading the Bible daily? At least, even if it's just for 15 minutes, that might be a baby step for some of us. Daily. And don't just read it to, like I said, to check off a checklist. Don't read it so that you can feel good about yourself. Read it so that you can better understand how much God loves you. That's His letter to you. Read it so that you can grow in your love for Him. Read it so that you'll know how to apply your love for Him. Start with the Word of God. Also, I know we all are busy. We all have a lot of things going on in our lives. But take time, make it a priority to spend time talking with God. Not talking at Him. Not laying out just a laundry list of stuff and then think that you did your spiritual duty for the day. No, spend time talking with Him, which means you also need to listen to Him. Spend time confessing your need for Him. Confessing, hey, Lord, I've got pride and selfishness and self-centeredness that still has a hold of me. And all the other things that spring from pride that I might still be struggling with. I need you, Lord. Talk to Him about that. He's there already. He lives in you through your faith. He wants to hear from you. Why? Because He wants to have a deep personal relationship with you. You are that important to Him. That's why He came and died for you. Ask Him to help you become more obedient, step by step by step, moment by moment by moment, decision by decision by decision. Ask Him to strengthen you and to give you the courage to do what you know you need to be doing. Not so that you can earn His approval. That was dealt with at the cross. No, because you love Him, because you realize how much He loves you. Right? So prayer, reading the Word of God, praying, talking with God daily, spending time with Him. Also, it could be joining one of Parkside's small groups. We have several through the week, and I can help you with that. It could also be one of the Sunday morning groups that meet. We have groups that meet at 9:30. We have groups that meet at 11. You can come to worship and then go to a group, or you can go to a group and then come to worship. But it's not an either or. If you really want to pursue this goal of becoming Christ-like and pursue the goal of humility, pursue the goal of just this love relationship with God, it takes two. You can't just ask God just to give it all to you and you not have any skin in the game. You have to be willing to work at the relationship. It takes two to make a relationship. And God's already here. Okay, you can take advantage of the Dollar Club and the Living Generously grants. Those are what those are there for. They're there to help you to share the love of Christ with other people. They're there for you to give to other people in some way, to start a ministry or to help someone who's in need, but to do it in a way that shows the love of Christ, to help that person know Christ if they don't already know Christ. And if they do know Christ, to encourage them in Christ. God wants to work in and through you. He wants you to step out in faith and say, Lord, how can I help you, somebody today? What word of encouragement can I give to somebody? Maybe it's your server at lunch. Maybe it's a cashier in the bank or at the grocery store. Maybe it's a neighbor or a friend or a coworker. There's so many opportunities. God is already at work around us. He just wants us to join Him. But we join Him not so we can feel good about ourselves, not so that we check off a list. We join Him because we love Him. And that's what He wants. That's what He wants for us. But we have to start getting to that goal one step at a time, right? We've got to start somewhere. So my challenge to you is to be a doer of God's Word and not just a hearer only. And this is true of me too, okay? And so we need to walk hand in hand with God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's demonstrate our love and faith in God through our humble, Christ-like behavior. our words, our attitudes, our actions, right? Now, we're going to enter into a time of communion, okay? And so, before we do that, what I wanted to encourage you to do is to spend some extra time talking with God, okay? If you don't already have the communion elements, you can get them at the tables at the back or on the side. But then, don't just go through and hastily take that. Take some time to actually talk to God. Confess any sin that's in your life. Confess any of the pride, selfishness, the self-centeredness, the thoughts, the attitudes that we all harbor. Confess that to God. And then ask God to help you become more like Him, to be that Christ-like, humble person that He wants you to have. And ask Him to help you grow in your love relationship with Him. Take time right now to do that. And then also take time before you take those elements, before you take the bread and the juice that represents the body and the blood of Christ, take time to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for humbling yourself and coming and dying on the cross for me personally. Thank you that not only did you die, but you rose again. You are alive. And through faith in you, we too will live with Him for eternity. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for everyone here, and I pray for them. I pray for myself as well. I ask that your Holy Spirit would help us to take those baby steps, to truly grow in Christ-likeness, to grow in humility, to grow in love for you and for other people, and not just feel good thoughts and think good thoughts, but to actually step out and live and give and serve out of love for you and others, Lord. As we take communion this morning, I ask and pray that you would speak to each of our hearts in a very real, personal way. That you would strengthen us, you would guide us, you would equip us, and you would use us, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross for our sins. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you rose again as proof of your power, your authority, a proof of who you are. Thank you that our sins have been dealt with by you in your blood on that cross. Thank you that we will live with you for all of eternity through our faith in you and in you alone. In your most holy and precious name, the name of power and authority, the name of salvation that we pray. And all of God's people said, amen.
Thanks for listening. You can stay connected with us throughout the week by following Parkside on social media. To learn more, visit ParksideChristian.com.